So we're in Hebrews, and today we're at Hebrews 10, verse 32 to 39. So I'm going to read that for us now. Hebrews 10, verse 32. Remember those earlier days, after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So I don't know how you have come this morning. Are you coming this morning a little tempted to give up? Are you coming this morning confused or demoralized or feeling alone and wondering where God is and what he's doing? Perhaps you've come with doubts in your heart, and those doubts are beginning to give way to a cynical spirit, and you are wondering if you can hold on to your faith. Perhaps you've come feeling the pressure of living in a society that is atheistic, and that's wearing you down. Perhaps you're looking at suffering and injustice in the world, and you wonder again, what is God doing about it? What is he doing about chemical weapons in Syria? And does he care about journalists who mysteriously go missing in Saudi Arabia? See, the letter of Hebrews is written to Christians who are feeling something like this. But for them, it had also got personal. And they were facing persecution for their faith in Jesus. And the question that they were facing in their hearts was, is it worth it? Is faith worth it? Is it worth holding on to our faith? So the writer to the Hebrews, he teaches them and he warns them and he encourages them not to forget why they turned to Jesus at first. See how much better he is than what you had before. He is worth it. But the writer also does something else in the passage this morning. And he points them back to a time in their history when the faithful people of God were facing the same sorts of questions. They were grappling with confusion about what God was doing. He points them back a few hundred years to the prophet Habakkuk, as we've already read some of that this morning. Verse 38 that I just read to you is taken from the prophet Habakkuk. So if it's okay with you, can we go back to Habakkuk again for a moment? I'm hoping that it's like when you go to the theater and you're waiting for the thing to start and the lights go on and then you see the kind of scenery that's set up and the backdrop. I'm hoping it will help us a bit like that, because you know then where you are and what's happening. So hopefully we can understand this morning a bit better if we go back to Habakkuk. So if you could now turn your Bibles to page 890. I'm going to get us to have a brief look at this. 890. Here was a faithful prophet of God who did not understand what God was doing. Why, God, do you seem to be doing nothing about evil? Actually, in this case, it was the people of Judah who were sinning against God, and they seemed to be getting away with it. Had God lost interest in righteousness? Had he turned his back on justice? Did it not matter to him that people lived right and listened and obeyed him? And God says, yes, justice will come. Judgment will come. It may seem to be taking a while. Look down chapter 2, verse 3. Though it may linger, it will certainly come and will not delay. God's timing is right. So wait. Wait and see God's glory. Wait and see his holy majesty. Wait in faith. And then chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will wait. He will trust that God is right and just. The faithful follower of the Lord will wait and see that it is worth it. Later, Habakkuk says, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. I remember. I choose to call to mind your mighty power. I remember the splendor of your light. And even though the fig tree does not bud, even though the fields are barren, even though the livestock are all gone, even though the crop has failed, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in God, my Savior. And so as you turn back to the passage in Hebrews this morning, this is the background. And those verses from Habakkuk were very familiar to the first readers of Hebrews. In the 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, when God seemed not to be saying anything, when God seemed to be silent, the faithful ones would read the message of Habakkuk again, and they would hold on to their faith. They would wait, and they would know that the Messiah would come and that it would be worth it. But look down at the verses again in Hebrews. Turn back and have a look at those. There are three things that I want to say this morning. They are, look back, hold on, keep going. Look back, hold on, keep going. Beginning to sound a bit like Jackie, aren't I? So firstly, look back. Remember what it was like when you first understood the truth about Jesus. Perhaps these people, these Christians, perhaps they drifted away from God. Maybe they were like a boat without an anchor. Or like a person bathing in the sea where the strength of the current is slowly pulling them away, pulling them along the beach without them quite realizing the currents are strong. Perhaps they'd stopped meeting up with the brothers and sisters. Perhaps the daily struggles and the opposition they'd faced had begun to overwhelm them. And they felt isolated. They felt isolated from each other, and they felt isolated from God himself. So the writer encourages them to remember. Remember what it was like at first, when you first knew and understood the truth. Do you remember how courageous that made you? Do you remember how closely you identified with those who were also persecuted or imprisoned? You went through hard times, but you did it with joy. You were insulted and laughed at and scorned, and yet you could do it with joy. How was that? It was because you knew that you had better and lasting possessions. We've heard that word a few times already, haven't we, in this series, that word better. What you had, the hope that you were holding on to, was better. The stuff, the possessions, the stuff that was taken from you well, that wasn't going to last anyway, and in the end would have been a disappointment. Think back. Think back to those days when you were holding tightly to this hope. Do you remember those times? When you first received the light, how certain it seemed. Have you remembered? Can you see it again? The joy that you had when you first believed, can you recapture that this morning? I have to confess that when I was thinking on this, I found myself a bit of a reluctance, a bit of an inner kind of difficulty with this looking back. Maybe it just feels like that was a really long time ago, and maybe I want to go forwards and not backwards. Maybe it's because if I look back, then I have to kind of admit that I'm not where I should be now. I have to admit that I've lost something that I once had. Or perhaps it's because life has moved on, and so the place where I'm now seems somewhat sort of disconnected from where I was then. And things are different now. I've got different responsibilities, I've got different struggles, and I face different pressures. Life has changed. Perhaps we've lost those that we loved. Things have changed. But, and we need to hear this, whilst much around us has changed, the light that overcomes the darkness, that hasn't changed. God's grace hasn't changed. God's truth hasn't changed. Our hope of eternal life hasn't changed. God is still faithful, and he is worth it. Secondly, hold on. Hold on. Don't throw away your confidence. Like the prophet Habakkuk, we've heard of your fame. We've heard of your fame, Lord. We've seen what you do. We know what you're like, and you're worth it. We've been welcomed into your presence. Habakkuk says the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And we too have been welcomed into that temple, right into the presence of the Almighty. This precious thing, this hope, this mercy, this grace of God, this Spirit of grace who's taught us the truth, this forgiveness, this access into the very presence of the living and holy God, don't throw it away. Brothers and sisters, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place, let us draw near. Access has been granted. The sign on the door has been flipped around. No longer does it say closed, but it says open. Come in and welcome. Since you have that confidence, don't throw it away. Don't get rid of it. Don't throw it out with the rubbish. I wonder, I think sometimes life can become so full of stuff and work and events, concerns, plans, holidays, meetings. And sometimes the things that are most precious, the things that matter most, are crowded out in the busyness. The more stuff you have, the easier it is to lose the things that are really important. Maybe like me, you're already thinking of something that you've lost, a birth certificate perhaps, or a passport. Where did you put it? But don't lose this, says the writer. This is a treasure that is priceless. It will be richly rewarded. You'll enjoy richness of life now and eternal joy and riches later. We have access, full clearance, to come into God's presence, and we are taken into his confidence. Jesus says, no longer does he call us servants, but he calls us friends of God. And then lastly, the writer says, you need to keep going. You need to persevere. Steady patience is what you need. Keep running. Some months ago, in a crazy late evening moment, Vicky applied to do the London Marathon, feeling quite sure that she wouldn't get a place. But last week, something dropped through the letterbox, which said that she had been successful and had been given a ballot place to run 26.2 miles through London's finest streets. And you can be sure that if she takes up this challenge for real, that she will need to put in many hours of running. Steady patience is what she will need over many miles of training runs. Keep on keeping on. Keep on doing the will of God. Keep on in obedience. Keep on being faithful when it doesn't seem to make sense. And you will receive what has been promised. How do we hold on? What do you do when times are tough? Do you just grit your teeth and grimace and cling on for dear life? Do you just put your best foot forward and keep going? Well, yes. And then again, no. Because you see, we can preach about keeping going in the faith, and that's right. And we can encourage each other and spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and that is right too. But I don't think that you will keep going simply because Darren or Andy or I or any of the other preachers stand here and tell you that that's what you should do. Who is it that gives us the strength to do this? Who is it that holds us more tightly than we hold onto him? You see, I think we keep going in our Christian lives because Jesus kept going and kept going to the cross. We have access to the Father because he made the way. We know the truth because he spoke God's word to us. We are righteous in God's eyes because Jesus was righteous for us. We will win through to life because he went ahead of us and defeated death and was raised to life for us. We keep going because of him. It's not about us trying harder, gripping tighter. It's about him. He is our strength and our hope. Verse 23, a little bit earlier in this chapter, says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful." He is faithful, so we hold on and keep going. Later in chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Consider him who endured, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Martin Luther was explaining this passage to his students back in 1517. At a very difficult time, and a crisis time, really, for the church. And he had rediscovered the truth, especially of verses like this one, verse 38. And he'd courageously gone public about these truths. And he was facing fierce opposition from the rest of the church leaders at that time. And as he reflected on these verses, he said this: "Christ crossed over first of all, and he smooths the exceedingly rough road. For he who relies on Christ through faith is carried on the shoulders of Christ." And so we come back to verse 38. "My righteous one will live by faith." This is a truth that goes right the way back, all the way back to Genesis, where we read that Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. Later, Paul picks it up in Romans 1:17 and says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And these last verses of chapter 10 are introducing us really to the next chapter, chapter 11, when the writer lists for us the people of the Old Testament who lived by faith. They were certain of what they did not see. They were sure of the things that they hoped for. They waited for God to reveal himself, and they believed that it would be worth it. And they are our examples. You may be like Habakkuk, bewildered by God's dealings with his people, confused, questioning, but eventually coming to this confidence that God is righteous. God is my hope and my joy. Though all around me is a mess, yet this God is my God, and I will wait for him. I will live for him, and I will enjoy him. Do you see how he writes in verse 39? We're not of those who shrink back. He says, I know what you're like. I know that you're people of integrity. I really believe that you will heed the warnings and respond to this call. I trust that you will hold on to this confidence and keep going. Whatever your situation, you will trust the promises of God. You will hold on to the hope of heaven. You'll keep on living in the presence of the Almighty. You'll continue to draw on his strength and know that he holds you. And at the end, you will fall into the hands of the living God. Not hands of judgment, but hands of mercy and love and grace and kindness. And so you will not shrink back. You will not pull back or fall back. You will not waste your life. You will press on in faith and be saved. Let me finish with a final story about running. This is another one that Jackie told in Splash the other week when I was helping out there. It's about Derek Redmond. He was a British runner who had high hopes of winning a medal, perhaps a gold medal in the 400 meters in the 1992 Olympics. He'd struggled with injury, but had battled through that and eventually made it to Barcelona. He was in the heats of the 400 meters, and things were looking good. He looked strong, but about halfway around the track, he suddenly pulled up. His hamstrings were torn. There was no way he could run anymore. As he limped around the track, it became clear that he would not give up. He was going to finish that race. This was the Olympics, after all. And as the rest of the runners finished, the crowd looked at Derek in admiration. And then they saw another man get up from his seat. He pushed away the race officials and ran across the track. It was Derek's father. He put his arm around his shoulders and guided him back into the lane that he had first started in. Overcome with emotion, Derek put his head on his dad's chest and wept. But to a standing ovation from the crowd, they finished the race together. Let's pray. Our Father, we need you. We are weak, but you are mighty. Hold us with your powerful hand. Help us to live by faith. Help us to finish the race. Help us to run in the lane that you've given us to run in. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high, and he lays the lofty city low. The path of the righteous is level, You make the way of the upright smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. Amen.